Steve Dale back with you at 8 minutes after 4 o'clock. I'm here for Rogue Con, and this is just perfect because I'm a huge supporter of the Chicago Police Department. But if there's anyone at this radio station who is more a supporter, it is Ro. And you know that, Chaplain Robert Montelongo. Welcome to WGN again. Nice to see you, and belated Merry Christmas.
Oh, belated Merry Christmas to you. Actually, we're still in the octave of Christmas, so it's still
explain
Christmas
what that
season.
Means. That's the octave, like la 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 la. No,
well,
no, not
so
that.
Christmas begins on Christmas Day and extends for the octave 8 days following Christmas. So we say Christmas is the first day of Christmas, and we have 8 days.
I never knew that.
Mm-hmm.
It's like Hanukkah.
Yeah.
I had no idea. Do you get presents for 8 days?
That would be nice.
So what does a chaplain do with the Chicago Police Department? Essentially, what's your job?
Well, my job is to help my brother and sister officers in any way I can, most especially in faith-based ways. Our chaplain's unit has many different denominations, and we're directed by Father Dan Brand, which is a great friend of Rokan.
Yeah.
We have myself, Hisni Selenica, he's our newest Muslim chaplain, Kimberly Lewis Davis, and Joe Jackson, and Rabbi Moshe Wolf. He's been with us for almost or over 30 years.
How long have you been with the department?
With the department, 22 years, and serving as a chaplain going on my 10th year.
So what do you think the biggest changes in those however many years you just said?
22?
Yeah. And it's interesting. I've been at this radio station 22 years as well, so we started at the same time.
Yeah. You know, it's hard for me to see any kind of negative change. So even though we do see a lot of negativity, but crime has always been crime since I came on the job and continuing up to now. What I would say a big change is the new recruits. Boy, they're so young. Yeah, I looked at them. Was I young?
Yeah, exactly. Maybe they're not as young as you're thinking, right, and you were just as young.
But talking about them, I see in them a lot of wanting to go out there. And as we kind of say, well, sometimes we say it's a cliche, wanting to help people, wanting to go out there and change the city, change our world. And that's exactly what they should do.
Is that the, when it comes down to it, is the job of a law enforcement officer to help? Is it kind of, in a sense, that simple?
Yeah. And most people come into the law enforcement world with a sincere heart of wanting to help people. And that's why when you talk to new recruits and you get to meet their parents and family are very afraid because they're sending to the police department, to the city of Chicago, the most loving and caring of their children who want to go out there and help. And we know the job can be dangerous.
Is that why suicides are so high in part? Is because you have a personality type that tends to be attracted to that profession that wants to help. And my gosh, at times it must feel like you're hitting your head against the wall. Not only from the perspective of all the bad guys that are out there, but also, okay, you've got someone, you caught him doing something that isn't good, and then you go to court, but you really don't go to court because they either plea bargain out of it, or it never even gets to court in the first place because of our court system. So it's complicated, but is it sometimes really frustrating, and so much so that maybe that's one of the reasons why we're seeing the uptick in suicides?
It's possible, and there is a lot of frustration when it comes to that. You arrest somebody, and you see them out the next day, and it's the way our court system, our legal system is designed. And I think officers know that. So there might be some frustration there, but officers know that. That's our job, and it's expected that that's going to happen. And we go out there and do the job.
What's the best thing? I'm also going to ask you about the worst thing of being a police officer in Chicago.
Specifically in Chicago?
Yeah.
Well, that's kind of hard because I've never been a police officer anywhere else. But I would say that even anywhere else they would agree with me is the helping people. When you do see smiles on people's faces, we'll go to many scenes and we're there and we'll interrupt some crisis or some traumatic incident. And you look at a youngster that's part of that family or that group, and you have this feeling there's no hope. Mm-hmm. But then there's times when you can help youngsters like that, and you do help somebody, and you see those smiles. And I think that's the best part. That's the best part of doing the job. It's actually why we signed up for it.
Yeah. And the other side of that question?
I think the worst thing is seeing the being in those highly traumatic incidents where there's death, where there's things no one should see, and an officer has to go see it, has to put order to it, and then finally, as you will, put that scene to rest and kind of take it from there. But anything that you experience, as we all know, no matter what it is, good or bad, you keep it with you. And that's the really tough part, is those traumatic incidents, having them, you keep them with you, you take them with you.
Someone in law enforcement once told me, and it might have been you for all I know, that police officers every day see the best of the human condition and the worst of the human condition.
That's true. I believe it. And as human beings, what do we typically do is we always remember the worst more than the best.
That's true. Yeah. You know, Chicago, I think, gets a bum rap regarding crime. I want to talk to you about that. And I have some numbers to prove that, in fact, Chicago does get a bum rap. My producer said, stand by. I am standing. Can't you tell? It is 4:18 on WGN Radio. Steve Dale for Rokan talking about one of Roe's favorite topics, one of mine also, and that is law enforcement in the Chicago Police Department specifically. Robert Montelongo is the chaplain, or a chaplain, for the Chicago Police Department. And, you know, we were talking both off the air about this, and we've talked on the air about it over the years. You know, Chicago, I think it's a really bum rap. So here I've got it. You see it, right?
I see it.
You can all see this. Papers that say, and these are official statistics, the safest city in America. According to the Safest Cities in America report from the Department of U.S. something that's blurred here, but this is from the U.S. government. The safest city in America is Columbia, Maryland. Hmm. I've heard of it. I know nothing about it. Number two, Yonkers, New York. Number three, Plano, Texas. Okay. Four is Gilbert, Arizona. Five is South Burlington, Vermont. And these are all cities of varying sizes, right? On the list, you know, it would be nice if Chicago were in that top five, right?
Yes.
But there is no major city. Let me go through this list here. There is no major city until, like, Vancouver. Is that a major? They're number 28. So they're the largest city at that. Portland, Maine is 31 on that list. I mean, there's no major city until you get to... Oh, gosh, I'm going Charlotte, North Carolina's 53. That's a big city, but still not a huge metropolis. I mean, they're just, sadly, I wish they were all safer, you know. The truth is Chicago is 130, and Milwaukee's 136. Albuquerque, nice community, you'd think, right? 137. Oakland, 149. Pittsburgh's 142, Washington, D.C., 167. I mean, there are lots of Denver. Must be all that stuff they're smoking is down to 160. I don't know. Anchorage, Alaska, 172. Los Angeles, 171. Detroit, 179. And at the bottom of this list are Fort Lauderdale.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
181. And below that, St. Louis is 182. So... You know, I think that Chicago does get, I mean, again, we want Chicago to be safer. I am not suggesting things are perfect. But I don't think it's nearly what is described on the late
media.
Night, by the late night stand-up comics and others.
Well, even just regular news. You know, sometimes we make news in Moscow, which is interesting. But you're right, 130, I'll take it. We could do better.
We need to do better.
But I'll take
it. So what could we do better? How can we help the Chicago police? Because we don't live... That's the other thing. We, in my opinion, it shouldn't be only up to law enforcement to make things safer. I think that we have to work as a team to do it, the community, the public officials, and the police.
Right. I agree. And we do have a lot of programs that... are there specifically for that. Our neighborhood policing program, our CAPS program, all ways of trying to get the citizenry to help us in this. It's not, like you said, it's not something for the police officers to do alone. I only have two eyes, and within the department, we only have so many eyes. But with the whole city looking out for each other, well, then we have, I don't know, how many people do we have in our city? You know, multiply that by two. We have tons of eyes that can help.
Help. So Mayor Lightfoot has talked about this. She said that more people need to step up. And in certain neighborhoods specifically, the police are still not trusted. And they need to at least develop some trust with the police, because the police can't know what they don't know. Yet, if you know something that happened, if you see something, if you hear something, if you know something happened, you need to speak up. And we're kind of not there yet.
Yeah, we've had this for so long. If you call 911 and ask for yourself to remain confidential, you will be confidential. If I requested to know who called, they're not going to tell me.
But that's actually a text here. So can I? You must be reading my text, even though you cannot see the screen. You must have X-ray eyes. Right. I don't know. But it's actually a question that was asked. Can I anonymously report something happening that I'm concerned about?
Yes, you can. And a police officer on the street might want to really bad know who called, and might just get on the air and say, who called? And the dispatcher will tell them it's anonymous. And to reverse an anonymous, I don't know what the procedure is, but I know it's like sending something through the Senate.
It's not easy.
And that would be on a very...
like high level something, right,
but it is very well guarded. And you know, again, with all things that when you say it's confidential, the natural instinct of people is to think it's not, and oh, that's not true, but it is, and I can confirm that. And
they don't have to be high crimes necessarily either. So quality of life is, you know, we're talking about, and people do tend to talk on the radio and in the media about the terrible things that happen, but living in a big city, lots of things happen. You know, they're blocking my driveway. What do I do? But I don't want them to know it was me that called, because I'm afraid they're going to do bad things to my car. I mean, can there be little things like that that aren't so little to the person who wants to get his or her car out of the driveway?
Of course. You know, if something is wrong, and you believe that it needs the police to come and help or to take action on it, call. Remain anonymous. We are a big city, and there's a lot of calls that we receive. But the calls that we can help on are truly the ones that really, you know, make our job worth it for us. We can go out there and make a difference. And those little things make a difference.
What can we do, because we have 1 minute left.
Okay.
What can we do, Chaplain, to most support the police department?
One other thing that I always say people need to do is to thank their police officers. There is not a better feeling that a police officer can have than to go out on the street and have somebody tell them, thank you for what you do. I really appreciate it. You know, typically, most of us will say that to a veteran. You know, hey, thank you for your service.
Increasingly, yeah.
And, you know, I'm a policeman on the street. Somebody tells me, thank you for what you do. And I'm like, well, you know, you kind of don't feel like you're worthy of it. But, boy, it feels good. And there are people out there who do it. It's happened many times for me.
Well, you know, I do that, too. Yeah.
It feels great. You know, and
they won't look at me like I'm crazy.
No. No, well, they'll remember you.
Well, that's I'm worried about that too.
Well, but they'll remember you and be like, wow, you know. Can I say quick, when I worked in Inglewood when I first got on the job, and from there I went to the targeted response unit, and it was going to high crime areas. Then I went to the bike unit in downtown, and people started waving at me and saying nice things to me, which wasn't usual, and it really made a difference. I felt good.
All right. Well, say nice things to the police. Chaplain, thank you. I'm saying it now. Thank you on behalf of me. I'm sure I'm speaking for Roe, for sure. And I think I speak for most Chicagoans and most people who may not on a daily basis appreciate the police. But boy, when we need help, who are you going to call?
Right.
You know, Ghostbusters, their line is busy.
Right.
So we call you, and you're always there for us. So,
and let them officers know how you feel.
All right. Thank you, Chaplain. It's been a tough year in a sense, right? Too many losses.
Yeah.
As Chaplain, you deal with that,
yes,
obviously. Yeah. So thank you so much.